and listening to Abd el-Fattah, I also found myself thinking that we keep cycling round and round for centuries, the same dilemma of class, summarized well enough perhaps in a conversation Dewey and I had a year ago, which states that the problem is developing the certainty that we can, in fact, work together and create a society in which we get to live our gifts fully. I said that we are asserting now our common ownership of the earth, and that as soon as we make our bodies part of that goal, as soon as we include our bodies in that goal consciously, we'll be on our way home to freedom. And I know that folks are doing that, that they are putting their own gifts first over jobs. A lot of people are trying to figure out how to hang on to themselves while doing jobs. But I'm suggesting that we take the next step of organizing around that truth instead of always accommodating ourselves to it. That it's not just a few, and to see that it's not just a few of us who have gifts we're trying to hang on to. It's every human being. And that we have to reach out to each other. So how do we start is the question. Last week we said we need a move to plan the state's abolition and our transition to freedom. Today we'll discuss not only that we're taught that this term, freedom's meaning, is its opposite, that we're taught to reject, per our parents' example and instruction, our body's truth. And that's the message packed in the faulty notion that freedom and governance, quote unquote, whatever those are, I mean, whatever that is, because they're not defined by us, that they exhibit some vague equivalence. We're taught as youth that the state governing us is but the larger version of us governing our passions, quote unquote, i.e. the truth of our bodies, the earth moving in us. A false equivalence, theirs, between freedom and quote unquote governance, that quickly falls apart when we trust our body's longing, the course in which it directs us. Now, some might say that one's body sometimes leads you true, but sometimes leads you astray. And I would answer, it only seems that way, because our process of growth has been sat on by power for millennia, and we are all damaged souls. But we must trust that we will get whole, just like that flower straightens up when that boulder is removed from it. We will get whole. And we must also see that power has a totalitarian reality, a whole entire worldview, which is defined according to its control needs to pull us back into in the aftermath of those moments when we break free. So we have to build an alternative focal point, a different center around which to orient our energies. All the energy that's released with power's hold loosening, which we're seeing now globally. And we're going to consider not only that we've been intentionally trapped in scarcity, that Townsend quote, again, is perhaps the most concise, clear, straightforward example. Not only that we've been intentionally trapped in scarcity, in survival mode for millennia, and keeping us in survival mode erodes our leadership capacities, our courage. So the problem isn't just that the chaos is unleashed on us, and how do we cope with that? It's this dependency-made chronic problem that we have to address by systematically working with each other around it, around that particular issue, developing our leadership and our courage, our confidence in each other, our trust. And I have to add here that African-American youth and indigenous youth are targeted because, and this is never discussed, it's always, you know, this vague term racism. No, they are targeted because they have not been for millennia in harness. And they still have vibrant alternative cultures, alternative allegiances, which makes them attractive to other youth, by the way, whose bodies miss these things. And it makes them, by the system's way of seeing, disobedient. just like the Uyghurs, just like the Bedouins, who still possess allegiance to authentic cultures. This one we're in is not a culture. I always urge folks to start saying non-culture of invisibility when they talk about class, the US, the West, those who have let go their allegiance to the earth. That's not a culture anymore. That's an absence of culture. And when we maintain that alternative allegiance, we are particularly threatening. We are threatening to power, most def. We're going to discuss, so see, you see what I mean about context? The way it's framed. If you frame the problem as some vague racism, which is embedded in your brothers and sisters, and so we're turned against each other, there we are stuck again. But if you show that it's about power trying to suppress, power is the agent, not us, that is trying to keep us from having an alternative allegiance, then we're all on the same page, because we want our earth back. We want our bodies back. We're going to discuss that the difficulty is not just that we've been atomized and divided from each other, not just that we've been taught to believe that democracy and civilization itself depends on all of the above, but that even if we could somehow see through all of these cons, too many of us deeply believe that we've been rendered so inadequate to the challenge of feeding, clothing, and sheltering ourselves, independent of the state's assumption of this prerogative, that we'd never be able to make it through a planning period. And that this is not true, too many of us fear to trust. Egyptian activist Alaa Abd El Fattah summarizes it thus. And so obviously now, where the state only aligns via hellfire missiles, he's talking about Egypt, it becomes a space where human trafficking and drug trafficking and arms trafficking and also terrorism and jihadis and so on flourish. But then you use that fact, that is power does, to make people live in fear, fear of Sinai, which is part of the country, which is a part of the country that we went to war for. And you know, people died for, and now it's being treated as an alien threat. And now it has become, I mean, they've mismanaged it until there is a real threat. Yes, they created it, but now we're stuck with it. And so people are scared of change. And I somehow have to find a way to explain to people why we need to dismantle the state and build a different one, and appease their fears, and actually find a way of confronting all the chaos that they are unleashing right now. But this is only a problem because we haven't cultivated, and I'm sorry, this is my interjection. This is only a problem because we haven't cultivated sufficient certainty globally. Obviously, we can't do this stuck in our individual state boxes, confront global power alone. And it is global power he's confronting. Global power that has the deep pockets, that funnels its dollars through layers and layers of actors.